Om Shanti, and good evening to all of you, and a warm welcome to Charlie, Brother Charlie from Australia. He's the national coordinator of Australia and has been since 1980 when he moved to Sydney. But prior to that, he had begun a search. He had always had a lifelong interest in philosophy and spirituality, and in the early 70s, traveled for 3 years across Asia, the Middle East, and Europe, meeting all kinds of religious figures, staying in religious organizations, Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim, and the various other religions of the area, Christian, Taoist. But it was in London in 1975 that he came across the Brahma Kumaris. I think at that time it was called the Raj Yoga Center. Was it in London?
I think it was the Brahma Kumaris.
Oh, it was, yeah. And, I just remember in Africa it being Raja Yoga Center, Raja Yoga Meditation Center. And Charlie then learned to meditate and went back to Australia in 1977 and opened a center in Melbourne. And I think since then has visited many, many centers. We have him for only half an hour as he will be joined by Mohini Didi. Over to you, Charlie. Thank you.
So thank you so much, everyone. And thank you, Sister Shuna. It's lovely to be in Madhuban, isn't it? How lovely is it to be in this atmosphere together? And in my early days, when we started, there was a saying, East or West, Madhuban is best. Who feels that? Unanimous. Who would like to live in Madhuban? Unanimous. Okay. So we do have the fortune of Mohini Didi coming to join us in about half an hour or so. So I'd like to share a few thoughts and maybe a little reflection as well. And this season, the theme is revelation through harmonizing samskaras, which is a really beautiful theme. But I think we all know that that can only happen when I harmonize samskaras with me. Is that true? I think that's the first step. And I remember once Baba saying that there can only be unity when there's individual purity. That's very deep, isn't it? When us as a group, we all work on our individual purity, it creates that. Probably one of the most special feelings of life when we resonate with others. We're just dancing in tune with each other. And I remember once Daddy Jenki saying that there are three main obstacles in this journey of this life we have with Baba. The first that we all have to pass is the opinions of society. And for some of us that can be quite strong. In Australia, over all the years I've been with Baba, hundreds and hundreds have finished the course. And I've met them and they've said, this is fantastic, this is what I want, this is my life, and you never see them again. Who's seen that? It's amazing because they go home and their families tell them, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that. So their fortune, that's their fortune. The second obstacle that Daddy talked about was the samskaras of others. And this is an obstacle that each one of us has to deal with because at the end of the cycle, every single human soul has a unique set of sanskaras. And ultimately, the more I progress spiritually, I can manage all different types and sets and uniqueness of others' sanskaras. But there are some who get so disturbed by the sanskaras of others, they spend almost their whole Brahman life just battling with one or two and cannot really get to that point where ultimately the truth of life is that I am responsible for how I feel. It's a fact. People are rude, people can be difficult, people can be this, people can be that. But ultimately, I am responsible for how I feel. But the third obstacle, Daddy said, was the my sanskaras. And I think that this is the real work of Brahman life, isn't it? Really, the real work of Brahman life is transformation at this deep level. And what is the real service of BKs? Personally, I feel it's transforming our sanskaras. That's our real service. Baba needs a certain number of souls with pure sanskaras to establish a new world. And I've often thought that many mics will come who will spread the message. But our part is to really do the work of creating a real level of purity in my sanskaras. And when there's a number of us vibrating on that frequency in all corners of the world, that's when the real shift begins to happen. Some years ago, I was really working on being an observer. And I began to feel that one of the main things of someone or signs of someone who's really absorbed Baba's truth is I'll just begin to observe the drama, just like Baba. Baba is 100% the observer of everything. And I began to sort of break it down into three things: for the scenes of drama, to be a detached observer, just like Baba is. For others, a benevolent observer. I honestly believe that's the only method in my relationship with others, to be benevolent. This is Baba's instruction to us time and time and time again. But for the self, to be an honest observer. And I think that's a real sign of knowledge, a knowledgeable soul, isn't it? To see myself. How clearly, after all my years with Baba, can I really see myself? How objective am I? Can I see myself with a real sense of clarity? Or do I still sometimes look through a very distorted lens where I only see what's wrong, only see the negative, only see the mistakes? Or do I see myself through a very emotional lens? Or do I see myself through a very limited lens? I think that's fairly common, that Baba sees me as this unlimited world server and I see myself in a very limited way. You know, how do I see myself? And I think one of the signs of a knowledgeful soul is to see the entire package of who I am with a clarity. So I know my strengths. I know my specialties, but I also know my weaknesses and my shortcomings. I know my capacity, because we all have a different capacity. Sometimes we live with some who have this incredible capacity to do so much, much more than I can. But in all of this, being able to accept myself as well, know what I can do well, but also what I can't do. This was a huge help for me in my journey that, you know, there's some things I can do, okay, but other things I'm not so good at, but others in the family can do them. So it's almost like I see the whole picture of who I am. And ours is a life of change. Really, ours is a life of transformation. This is our life in the confluence age. And if I really reflect on my Brahman life, what's given me the most happiness besides meeting Baba, those personal meetings, is really when something is genuinely shifted. You know, when something changes in you. And sometimes I feel for myself, and I think when I talk to most BKs, we feel we love Baba, we have faith in Baba, we follow the principles, we follow the Mariadas, I do service, I cooperate, but still some deep sanskaras haven't shifted. Who feels that, can I say? Pretty unanimous again. I think that's how many of us do feel. And some years ago, when Baba was talking, there was one season, sometimes Baba would take up a theme. And one season, the whole theme was about transformation of sanskaras. And Baba was saying that sometimes they can be so strong, they can be so powerful. We all know this. But there's one thing that makes it possible to change. And that is the law, that beautiful spiritual law that says, if you take one step of courage, Baba will give 1,000 steps of help. And I wonder when you hear that, do you think that's just something nice Baba says to us just to make us happy? To me, the courage is that honesty, that it is my sanskara, because often I feel there's a whole lot of reasons why I'm like this, or I still project. But when I have the honesty to say, yes, Baba, it is my sanskara, and I own it, and when I make a plan, and I begin to actually try to practice that plan, really try to put it into practice, and I keep that determination like last Sunday's Morley. And I feel that if we just take that one sanskara that often affects my life, have a plan and work on it, I think Baba's help to shift something in me is enormous. After 10 years in Gyan, I had such a realization of how a lack of self-respect affects absolutely everything. My relationship with Baba, my relationship with myself, my relationship with the Divine Family, my health, absolutely everything. And I just took that, I had that one aim over a few years to really start to, you know, make that effort, create a plan and keep practicing to shift that sanskara so that I don't feel a victim of my own sanskaras, but actually I start to really work on it and begin to shift. And in those mullis, Baba talked a lot about sanskaras and nature, and they're deeply related. And to me, I think that sanskaras are like the seed, and nature is like the expression of the seed. And one image I have for my sanskaras is that they're like little packets of experience or emotions or feelings that sit on your memory track. So all my past is stored in these little packets that are stored on the memory track in the subconscious, the most amazing part of the spiritual anatomy. And in life, I come in front of a person and their vibration, their expression, their words trigger some of those little packages, and they open and they just spread into my mind. So they become my nature. The seed of the package opens and it flows into my mind. So I might have the seed of a little bit of anger, and so somebody's behavior opens that seed and my nature expresses it as irritation or overreaction or whatever it may be. So sanskaras are like a seed and nature is the expression of it. And sanskaras are latent, but nature is visible. In a way, many times the sanskaras can remain hidden for some time, but my nature is very visible. And I think this is my own understanding of it, but I find it really fascinating because sometimes I've thought of relationships like an iceberg. Not that they're cold, but An iceberg, as you know, is 10% above the water. That's my nature. That's what people can see. That's what I show to the world. But the 90% under the water are my sanskaras. And when I initially meet somebody, I think mostly it's my, excuse me, my nature that we get to know. But what happens in time when you get to know people, you live with people, that 90% begins to reveal itself. So the sanskaras come more into play. And I think we can create our nature. I think often my nature is a product of my culture, what's acceptable socially in my culture, what is acceptable in my family. These sort of things, even in the Brahman family, I create a nature which is more what I present externally, but still my sanskaras can be more underneath the surface. For instance, if my seed sanskara is fear, my nature will be a bit nervous, a bit anxious, a bit timid, this sort of thing. If my seed sanskara is guilt, when it flows into my nature, I can feel heavy, burdened, sort of worried, that sort of feeling. Or if my seed sanskara is honest, my natural nature, you know, my natural seed sanskara is to be honest. I think when it comes into my nature, I feel very light and cheerful. Or if my seed sanskara is anger, when it comes into my nature, I mightn't be angry verbally, but I can be a bit brooding and sulking and this sort of thing. So the nature is the expression of the recording in my subconscious. Even, you know, self-respect. If my sanskara is of self-respect, I'll be very loving, very accepting, very humble. But if my sanskara is, the seed sanskara is lack of self-respect, I feel so easily unloved and excluded and those sorts of feelings. So they have this deep relationship. And my understanding is that the sanskaras change when I remember Baba, but the nature can change through understanding. I can understand how to express, but to really reprogram my nature, than my sanskaras, I really have to remember Baba. And often I think, you know, when I remember Baba, and that, you know, is at the heart of our life, when I connect and I'm influenced by Baba, who's incorporeal, egoless and viceless, the more I'm influenced by that and I move in that direction, almost automatically, the power of old sanskaras over me becomes less and less and less. And the more I step out of the powerful influence of sanskaras, there will be some, then the more I begin to harmonize with others, I would say, in almost a natural way. But we all know it's a real journey. We all know that. And I've often reflected on this, and there's no sort of set pattern. But sometimes I think there's like steps on the journey. And when we take birth with Baba, you know, isn't that the greatest thing? We all remember the day that we realized Baba, realized who I am, realized my part in the cycle. There's nothing greater. And yet, we change almost overnight. My eating habits, my sleeping habits, my relationship habits, so many things change. Some quickly, some take a little bit of time. But that first layer of change is just habits. And habits are mainly based on this life. They're things that I've created in this life and this birth. And they can change quite quickly. And so we feel it's quite easy. I've often shared that when I started, it was 1975, and many felt that Vinash, destruction, was 1976. I had 1 year to become Karmateet, And honestly, in my innocence, I thought, why not? I'm still here 50 years later, you know, working at it. But, you know, that's the beauty of the innocence of childhood. So that first step is really the change of habits. The second, I often feel, as we grow into Brahman life, all of us have obstacles, problems, challenges. It's a part. We have Gyan and Yoga to deal with those things. And I often feel that the second step is dealing with my soft sanskaras. They're the sort of sanskaras that have been recorded over the last few births. Things like seeing defects, impatience, intolerance, lying, but sort of twisting the truth, a whole range of things. And with effort and practice, I can start to feel myself shifting some of those things. But I think for many of us, and even though we can't say there's a formula for all of us, we can come to a point in our Brahman journey, which can be after a few years, 10 years, even more, where we have like a midlife crisis spiritually. And I think that, you know, we're traveling along, we love Baba, we're doing service, we're committed, but rubbish that I thought I'd changed years ago emerges again. And that can be very destabilizing. And sometimes that self-doubt kicks in. Can I really change? I've been a Brahmin for so many years. And then this old rubbish that I thought I'd shifted a long time ago. And sometimes because I've been practicing, it seems like it's worse than before, stronger than before. And it can be, you know, my anger, it can be ego, it can be lust, it can be dependence. It comes back quite strongly. And quite frankly, sometimes some move away from Baba at that point of time, think, oh my gosh, I've been a Brahmin for so long and this stuff is still coming back. But what I feel personally is that when we start Brahmin life, our bhakti sanskaras kick in, and that's sort of the sanskara to suppress. Because in bhakti, you know, we wanted to change, but we didn't know what sanskaras were. We didn't have a methodology. So I developed this, you know, this face for the world, my nature to the world, and my sanskaras underneath, which often didn't want to show, because none of us want to show our impure sanskaras, our negative sanskaras. And so sometimes we come to Baba and we suppress a lot of the really deep stuff. We just push it down. And at some point, it emerges once again. Sometimes I think this is when the real Brahman life kicks in. And when I think that real honesty with myself and Baba, that I don't pretend to be something anymore. I say, Baba, yes, this is my stuff and this is why I've come to this life. And in a way, my support of you creating a new world is really to clean this stuff up. But sometimes our reactions, I think, because we didn't really know how to change these very deep sanskaras, because there's the soft ones and there's the hard ones. Sometimes I think they've been recorded every birth, for 63 births. How deep are they? Some of them, we all know, some of the power of certain feelings. Intellectually, you want to change them, you want to be somewhere else, but sometimes the power of that force within yourself takes you in a different direction. So seeing these deep sanskaras, sometimes we suppress them, we push them down, sometimes we deny them to myself. And it's a thing I've thought a lot about, how we've developed these mechanisms in bhakti just to not, because it's not pleasant to see my weakness. So I learn to just shut it out, that it doesn't really happen. And even sometimes I go to places and they give me feedback about myself and I say, oh no, that's not true. And then I get the same feedback, I keep getting the same feedback. But I don't want to see it because we feel sensitive, and if we have lack of self-respect, it just makes me feel even a bit weaker sometimes. So sometimes we suppress, sometimes we deny. Sometimes we even avoid, I think, where we construct a life where people or situations that make me feel really uncomfortable inside, I avoid them. And I tell myself I've changed. But actually, I design my life not to face things which make me feel uncomfortable. Sometimes we even get on the front foot and we blame everybody else as the problem for me feeling this way. But ultimately, I think the incredible thing that Baba encourages in all of us is to have that power to face myself and have the courage to say, I have all these beautiful qualities, which we all do, but I also have these acquired stuff that I've collected along the way. And I would say that the great happiness is to free myself, from that those sort of that set of samskaras that really sometimes holds me back and holds me down. And to me, it's like they sort of, we start as the child, we grow up in Brahman life, dealing with my soft samskaras, the hard samskaras erupt, and and that sort of midlife crisis. And then there's a beautiful maturity. I often see in some of Baba's old children a really sweet, something very sweet in their nature, that they've really had to face themselves and they've come out the other end, really. And to me, that maturity is you have a wisdom how to manage this journey of change. One is to have the aim. I know the aim, I'm going to become a pure soul, a deity. But equally, I need to manage the journey. How to manage that sometimes when just out of the blue, a deep samskara kicks in and threatens my sense of self-respect or my sense of self-confidence or my sense of worthiness or whatever it may be. Do I still really overreact to that? Or do I just stand back as that observer and say, yes, this is a part of the journey. These things are going to emerge. And my part is really just to really apply knowledge, gyan and yoga, and really just keep moving forward and keep moving forward. And I think that, you know, this whole journey to be honest with myself about my sets of samskaras, and honesty is not just seeing the weakness. I can't say I'm honest if I just see only what's wrong. Because often I need more honesty to even see the beauty in myself. Often we even deny that even more than my weakness sometimes too. But I see the whole picture and I keep my courage. I keep my courage because I feel that when we do that, but we get that sort of support. You know, the thousand steps of help from Baba, when I honestly sit in front of Baba and say, yes, Baba, this is my samskara, and yes, Baba, I have a plan, and this plan, I'm going to keep working at it until I chip away. My own experience was that deep samskaras don't change quickly, and that's where it's just constant work. And when I was really on this journey of sort of really trying to understand and rebuild self-respect, because in a way, that's another way of describing this life, just rebuilding my sense of self. I began to just observe people or situations that triggered a feeling inside that wasn't so confident, or I didn't feel so good about myself, or, you know, that you feel a bit, you've lost that sort of sense of self-value. And rather than just reacting and letting all those thoughts just flow through your mind, apply gyan at that time. Really apply gyan. Apply the truth that Baba has told us, that yes, we all have old samskaras, storms will come. This, you know, give a clarity. And at first you may only be a little bit successful. If you keep practicing, you get more and more and more until you start to develop the confidence, actually I can shift something so deep inside myself. Because sometimes I think that's the real work when Baba collects the Brahman family and we have the courage to shift on a level that's actually going to shift the whole world into a new future. So maybe if we can just have a little reflection for a few moments, and I'm going to ask the brothers if we can maybe have some meditation lights. Just for 3 or 4 or 5 minutes, I just You don't need to write anything, just a little meditation come reflection. Let me sit with Baba. In the subtle region. And look back at myself sitting in the chair in this hall. Just sitting with Baba. Look back at myself sitting in the chair and observe myself. Let my vision fall on all my goodness. My good sanskaras. It may be my loving nature, my kindness, my accuracy, my ability to cooperate with others. Just be like Baba, the observer of my good sanskaras. But in this observation, don't be impressed or influenced. Be a complete observer. Look deep, go deep. So many positive divine sanskaras are there. And as I continue to sit with Baba in this state of the observer, let me fall on the weak sanskaras I've collected. It may be the habit to feel hopeless sometimes, to feel inferior, to feel rejected and not loved. But let me just observe. Don't feel bad. Don't feel heavy. Don't feel hopeless. Just observe. And in this observing, in this sweet but detached way, what do I feel is the main sanskara that holds me back? That stops me coming closer to Baba and my higher self. Reflect deeply. Go deep. What is the one main sanskara that doesn't allow harmony in the self and therefore harmony with others? Remain the observer.